Ait, how's everybody doing? Did you miss me? I was just here talking to Dr. Atarian about the CDUs. We're doing the 75 here on Google. Of course, Mike, you can check on the young pilot good friend in LA. And all your programming and entertainment at the soon-to-be Tiffany Center of the Arts. That's located at South Ashland Avenue, Adams and Ashland, right there in the West-ish loop. 42,000 square feet. We're going to have three different performance venues, along with a cafe, bar, a beautiful courtyard, private event spaces, a 3,000 square foot pop-up art gallery, three artists and residence studios, and a whole lot more. We are going to be opening up September 1st with COVID-safe performances happening up in the sanctuary. Announcements are coming very soon, most likely late next week. We're going to be launching. We're going to be getting tickets on sale. We're going to be able to talk all about it. There'll also be a live stream component. Get all the information at epiphanyshy.com. That's epiphanyshy.com. Hit us up. Let us know you want the information, and we're going to send it. Of course, you're going to hear it here at Chicago Music Revealed as well. All right, now, we have had quite a bunch of shows this week. And before we get in and we get to talk to Greg here about the new recording, I want to mention tomorrow, of course, is our Chicago Blues and Beyond series that we do every Friday, where we feature a different Chicago Blues musician, legend, Hall of Famer, and Grammy winner. And tomorrow we have all of the above. Of course, I'm co-hosting with a good friend, Dave Katzman. He'll be on tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And our special guest, Kenny Beady-Eyed Smith, the legendary drummer here from Chicago, Grammy Award winner. And we're going to be talking about the live stream, his live stream educational programs, his blues music in the schools, plus any other new releases. And he's always playing tons. These days he's not because of the COVID thing, but I know he's recording a lot. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. So that's tomorrow. You want to tune in here at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for Chicago Blues and Beyond on Chicago Music Reveal. I knew I would get the short name right. All right, I'm going to stop talking. Let's bring in Greg Finsky. Congratulations on the new recording. It is a pleasure to have you on. I know you and I emailed back and forth a couple of times, and Sabina was trying to set up things, and my schedule's been crazy, and I'm glad we could put this whole thing together. But talking to you before we came on, it seems like it's a perfect time, because this brand new release that you have on OA2 Records called Beautiful Moments is being released tomorrow, and as luck would have it, you're also doing a live stream from everybody's good friend, Paul Maslin's place up there at PM Woodwinds in Evanston. So you got a whole lot going on, and we're able to preview it the day before, which is awesome. So I'm glad all the cards aligned. It's great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. So let's talk about this new recording first, before we get into the live stream extravaganza, but you're releasing it tomorrow. So I'm assuming everybody can head over. I've got the link down below, so everybody can head over to GregoryDuzienski.com to purchase the new recording, Beautiful Moments. It's on OA2 Records, and, you know, you've got a lot of our friends on there. Everybody's going to know who's on there, so we'll talk about them as well. But talk a little bit about the compositions and the thought process about putting this recording together. Now, you recorded it back in the fall. It's just coming out now, so I know you weren't recording or writing about the pandemic. So what were some of your concepts? I mean, how did this whole recording come about?
Well, the recording came about in conjunction with the quartet kind of establishing itself. The tunes are all tunes I've written in the past couple of years since I've kind of got back and settled back in Chicago again. And once I got back into town, I began meeting people. I met Kelly first at the session at Serbian Village with Tommy and everybody.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yep. Kelly Sill, by the way, for those of you that are listening and don't know, but Kelly Sill's a world-renowned bassist, lives here in Chicago. Also, by the way, contributes to Chicago Jazz Magazine every once in a while, so that's fun. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just...
Oh, yeah, so Kelly Sill and Jay at this session at Serbian Village. And we together a bit there, and the connection was really pretty substantial right away. Yeah. Then a couple months after that, I got an opportunity through Kathy Kelly, the great vibes player in town, to present a set of work for the Chicago Jazz Composers Collective at the Green Mill. And I wanted to get Kelly involved. I wanted to get Jeff involved. And we were talking about piano. He recommended me to Chris. And from the first time we played, the chemistry with the four of us was just really, really something. And we all knew in pretty short order that we needed to document this music and record this music. So, you know, we worked through a few months playing these tunes, playing as much as we could around town. And then last November, we went into the studio with the great Scott Steinman at Studio Media. Yep. to lay down these tracks. And it's difficult for me to say I'm happy with my work. I think there's probably a lot of artists that could relate to that. But I got to tell you, Mike, I'm really, really pleased with the way this project turned out. I'm really, really happy with it.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I've heard about three or four tunes, and I mean, it sounds great. And I'm always curious, and you sort of alluded to it there, so I'm going to go right into this question, is that as a composer and writing the music and putting it all together, when you go in to play it and record it, do you have to almost like say, okay, I know I wrote this, I know I got everything written, I know I did this, but now I am going in as a musician who's going to play on it. I'm not going in as the composer, arranger, guy in charge of everything. I've got to go in as a musician and play over this so that I can get the most out of the creativity that I have and get the most out of the compositions that I wrote, rather than, you know, if you went in there as, okay, well, you know what, let me change this, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this, let me do that. It almost will hamper what's happening, I would imagine. So did you have to split your brain a little bit when you finally went in to start to actually start recording this stuff and playing over it?
That's a really good question. I guess the short answer is yes. My compositional process, and if I, you know, if you had one of my lead sheets, you'd see it. There's not a lot of information with my tunes. You know, they're very, very simply written. You know, the forms are pretty straight ahead. The harmonies are nothing too exotic. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, it allows the tune to develop organically through the people that are playing it. I think, you know, the four of us on this record, or whoever I'm playing with, we develop the tune completely. And yeah, I really step back from the idea of this is my tune and I'm going to dictate the way it's done when we start workshopping it and we start playing it. It's really, really important to me that however many people are playing my tune, whether it's a quartet, a trio, or a sextet, whatever, it's important that that group develops the tune as a collective unit. So I really step back from ownership of these tunes once I get them written down and committed to paper and let the tune develop on its own based on the people that are playing.
Well, yeah, and you know, with the guys that you're playing with, and it sounds like you played... the four of you played enough gigs before you went in that you've got a trust level with them and they have a trust level with you that they can actually ask or question or make suggestions on some of the compositions. And, you know, I've talked to enough composers here in the past couple of months on the show that actually 99.9% of them love the feedback because it helps them get the most out of their composition. If it was always just like the dictatorship and this is the way it's going to be, you never know what could have happened to it. So it sounds like that's exactly what happened. And then when you dial in the three guys that you're talking to, Kelly Sill, Jeff Stitely, and Chris White, and then yourself, I mean, do you feel like you got the most out of these compositions? Like this is like the true sound of what the composition would sound like that you envisioned because you had such input and you guys worked so well together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The energy and the playing that these cats brought to the tunes and the project, it lifted me beyond anything I thought was possible. And, you know, it was a real thrill to do that. And it's a real thrill to play with them every time we get a chance to play together.
So we should talk a little bit about, okay, so everybody should go over, and I've got the link down below, Gregory Duzienski. I said it again, right? Duzienski.com. See, I knew you corrected me before I came on, and I told you I was going to say it wrong, and I did, but that's all right. The link is below.
It's my whole life. Don't worry about it.
So head over there to pick up the recording. Now, you're going to be doing, and I'm going to say, let's talk a little bit about the live stream tonight, which is Paul Mess's place. And I know you were telling me before we came on, he's got quite a setup going on over there. So this is going to be a great thing to tune into. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, this one came up. It was really kind of serendipitous the way it happened. Paul had been, if you're familiar with Paul Maslin's shop, he's got a really nice woodwind repair and retail shop in Evanston. And then next to that, it shares a wall, but a small space that he uses sometimes for artists coming in through town to give master classes or short or small performances or whatever. So he had the idea that as all this, as the quarantine was going on and as things were so uncertain about what was happening, he was going to use that space and give musicians in town an opportunity to continue to present their work. I thought it was a really, really beautiful idea he had. So he's working with a videographer, and he's got it set up really, really nicely. I guess it was about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Mark Colby's quartet played there and live streamed from there with really, really good results. Paul called me, asked me if I'd be interested in a date, and the date he offered me happened to be the release date. It wasn't even a perfect coincidence. So we absolutely jumped on it, and we're excited to be able to, you know, play some of the tunes from the record. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Paul for giving us that opportunity and give us that space.
That's the biggest thing. I've talked to a lot of artists from all over the country that are releasing recordings during this time. And it's one of those things where it's like, they've got to get it out. They can't just sit on it. I mean, they recorded it and they want to get it out. I'm a big believer in the fact that that you've got a captive audience right now that's looking for new music. So that if they can hear it or get word about it, they're going to discover it a little bit more, maybe a little easier than they would have when there was so much other stuff happening, especially in the summer with festivals and all that stuff. But with the live stream thing, the Facebook live stream, I can't tell you how many musicians I have found watching Facebook live streams that I didn't even know about, not just in Chicago, but throughout the country, throughout the world for that matter, and have checked them out. And I'm positive that their fan bases are growing. And I talk about this on this show all the time, but I don't care. I'm going to keep beating it into the ground because I think the silver lining coming out of the show, out of this pandemic, and what I'm hearing in this show is that artists are finding different ways to electronically, digitally connect and grow their audiences in different ways. It's almost like out of necessity, they had to figure out how to do a live stream platform. And to Paul's credit, that's what he's done. He's figuring it, because he probably would have never done a live stream setup with a videographer and all that stuff, because he would have been like, oh man, you know, everybody's playing in clubs. Anyways, who's going to want to come over here? I think he's going to create something really cool. And he's also allowing musicians like yourself, who's putting out releases, to be able to reach his audience, which is expansive, and a whole lot more people, and to actually have almost a proper CD release even during a pandemic. So, I mean, I'm glad he's doing it, and I'm glad you guys are doing it, and I'm glad all the stars aligned to be able to do that when the release date happened.
Yeah, it really worked out well. I mean, it's wonderful that Paul's doing it, but, I mean, there are a number of cats who are doing this in the city, too. I guess Andy's is live streaming from their place now. The Fulton Street Collective has been doing a series, you know, throughout the quarantine of some great work. So it's really encouraging to us as artists to see the venues, you know, doing what they can to help us present our work as well.
Yeah. All right. So everybody head over. The link is below, facebook.com/PM Woodwind. It starts at 8 p.m. tomorrow. It's free. It's on Facebook. You have no excuses. You need to sit back, have a cocktail, and watch this on your computer. But I know that if you have Chromecast or Apple TV or Roku or anything else, you can watch it right on your television, too. By the way, for those of you that didn't know that, I'm here as a friendly reminder and a helper here for your technology woes. You can stream it on TV, so you have no excuses. Check this out. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background, Greg, because I was reading over it. Now, you're not originally from Chicago, are you, or are you?
Well, in a roundabout way, I grew up in Valparaiso, Indiana, which is just around the lake, mm-hmm. on the across the state line. I did my undergraduate school at Illinois University.
Ron Kurter?
This was before Ron Kurter, Tony Garcia and Modell.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
I was there from 1990 to 1994.
Oh.
And, you know, that was while I was there, that was the first time I dip my toe into the Chicago world. A bunch of us would come into the city and go to sessions. the big session we used to go to, it was at a place on Division called Bop Shop.
I used to play at the Bop Shop, and I came back from college as well, and I knew never to park on any of the side streets over there because my car would probably not have tires, and now there's million-dollar homes. So, I mean, right. No figure, right? That was a hip spot, man. That was a really fun spot.
Yeah, I met a lot of people there. I met Lynn Holiday there, and, you know, what a treasure that man was. You know, I got, you know, it was in the grand scheme of things, it was only maybe a couple of months that I'm in orbit, but the things that I learned from him just in those couple of months going to those sessions at the Bop Shop, I'm still grateful for those moments.
Yeah. Well, Chicago legend, Lynn Holiday. That was some of the first recordings that George Flutis and Dennis Carroll and Ron Perillo, I think, is on one or two of those. I mean, Lynn was a legend in Chicago, and he used to play at the Bop Shop all the time. Man, I remember bringing back memories now. That was a really hip spot. It was across from Phyllis's Musical Inn. So if anybody's ever goes to Phyllis's and you look across the street, there used to be a really hip jazz club right over there that's no longer there. I don't know what it's called now, but it's not a jazz club, I can tell you that. So anyways, so you were at Northern and then you graduated. Where'd you head off to after that?
When I finished at Northern, I knew I didn't want to, you know, keep going to grad school right away. So as luck would have it, a position was available with the U.S. Navy Music Program. I auditioned, I got that job, and I ended up doing that for 23 years. So
wow.
That took me all over the world. I lived in Naples, Italy for a good number of years. I lived on the East Coast for a while in New England. I lived in Virginia for a while. So that was a really, really good experience as well. In fact, the first record I did, which was about 3 years ago now, I did over in Naples with some Italian musicians while I was living over there. And I owe that whole thing to being able to be in Naples through the Navy Music Program.
Wow. So you, as part of the Navy Music Program, you joined the Navy, obviously, and then you were in the Navy. Is that how that whole thing works? And then you're it, and then you're basically, is your, because I've talked to Jordy Kelly. I don't think he was in the Naval. I think, I forget which brand.
Yeah, he was.
Was he? Yeah, okay. So I remember having him on my old show, and we were talking. It's fascinating. The stuff that he would play, different events he was playing, all that, similar to what you were doing. You were playing all these different ceremonies, but then you were playing clubs at night and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, he and I, we had essentially the same job. In fact, we worked together in a number of places. I know him very well.
So how did you end up, did you leave the Navy? Like, you retired? Is that because...
Yeah. Yep. When I left, I had 23 years in. One of the good things about a job like that is once you have 20 years, you can quote unquote retire, you know, with all the benefits to go along with something like that. And I knew that I wanted to come back to Chicago. I've always kind of known that this was my home and I wanted to get back here. So, once I finished that job, I got back here and I started trying to get into the scene and here we are.
So when did you get back to Chicago?
I guess it was the end of 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, 2017.
Now, when you were playing, when you were in the Navy, I mean, were you playing sessions like you're playing sessions now, like you're doing with Chris and Kelly and Stitely? I mean, was the scene that way? I mean, because it seems like everybody says, oh, I'm in, you know, the military branch, I'm in one of the bands, and everybody thinks one way, like, oh man, it's pretty strict, you're doing all this stuff. But then you hear stories, and you're like, no, man, you get to play. You get to do sessions, you get to do a whole lot of stuff, and you're touring the world, and you have steady income coming in, which is amazing, as a musician. So what was it with you? I mean, were you able to continue to play, and did you feel like you were playing with people that expanded your playing as you were doing that more than if you would have just not done that and maybe moved to Chicago or New York and gotten into those scenes at the time?
Oh, well, I mean, I definitely think I grew through the experience, just the opportunity to travel, you know, different parts of the world and to live abroad for a number of years was an amazing experience. But to your earlier question, yeah, you know, you've got a touring schedule, you've got a schedule that you have to keep, but, you know, beyond that, you're free to pursue whatever project you like as long as you can balance the time. So yeah there's restricted, I should say. I never felt restricted in my own artistic goals or my own ideas, my own things that I wanted to work on through that job.
So, okay. So I have to ask before we wrap this up. So when you moved back to Chicago, you start getting into this scene, you start hanging out, you went to the Serbian Village. All roads lead to Tom Muehlner at the Serbian Village. I always,
yes.
I always give them crap about that, but you know, but it's a great session. It's a great session. We all know, love Tommy. But other than that, I mean, when did you start performing and starting to meet people? And was it just like natural because you were so used to just playing anyways, just hitting people up and going to get gigs and hitting, getting into the clubs and getting into the circuits and stuff? Or was there a little bit of kind of a not a learning curve, but you had to feel out the scene and figure out where your music might fit and what clubs might make sense and how that could work?
Well, I think anytime you move to a new situation, a new city or a new scene, you know, you have to, you know, you have to kind of observe the way things work and how that scene operates before you start to find your place in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly spent some months doing that, you know, checking out some different places. But I have to say about Chicago that there are not a lot of walls between, you know, scenes. Thing, you know, everybody is very, very open. Everybody is very welcoming. It did not take me long to kind of find my place and to find find some compatriots to work with once I got here.
You know, since you've toured all over, I mean, you must have obviously, you know, seen a lot of different jazz scenes throughout the entire world. I mean, how does Chicago stack up? I mean, we all know New York, okay, but I mean, you know, you were over in Europe, you were probably all over the States as well. I mean, as far as jazz scenes and proximities to clubs and the amount of musicians and the openness of musicians, where do you think Chicago lays in there?
For me, Chicago is the healthiest scene in the world. I really, really like it here. You know, obviously there are great opportunities to play. There are lots of wonderful venues. There's great support for the scene. But the thing that really, really does it for me, and the reason that I like it so much, is the warmth of the people in that world. And just, I felt it from day one. I continue to feel it, and it's really, really refreshing.
You know, I agree. I mean, I've you know, we've all been to New York and played New York and everything else, but the scene here is just something that I don't think a lot of people understand. I mean, we all have friends in New York and in LA that are in, you know, playing and all that stuff. And every time they come to Chicago, they're like, damn, there's a lot of work here, music-wise. There's a lot of people playing. There's a lot of creativity. There's a very high level of performance happening, and everybody seems to be pretty cool. And I mean, you know, that's kind of sums up the entire scene to your point. I mean, that's really almost like the perfect storm where everything comes together in Chicago. And, you know, so I agree. And I think that the way the internet and the way the digital world is now, Chicago is really starting to get their due a little bit more than they had in the past, just from a performance level, because anybody in Chicago can get to New York in 2 hours on a plane and come back. So it's not like we're in the middle of nowhere anymore, which, you know, none of us ever thought we were, but, you know, you talk to some people and they had no idea. So I always love getting perspective from somebody like you who's traveled so much and seen so many different experiences and played in so many different scenes, you know?
Now, I count myself as very lucky to be here. I really, really do, Mike.
Well, all right, everybody head over. You've got to head over. The link is below, gregoryduzinski.com, to purchase the new recording Beautiful Moments. And then tomorrow night, let me get this back up on the screen. Friday night, 8 p.m. There it is. Facebook.com, PM Woodwind, 8 p.m. Chris White, Kelly Sill, Jeff Stitely, and Greg Duzinski tearing it up at Paul Maslin's place doing the new recording. The whole release happens tomorrow. Greg, congratulations on everything. And it's great to connect. And hopefully, when this whole situation slows down and goes away, we'll actually see each other in person rather than virtually. But we'll have to take what we can get at this point.
I'm hip. I would love that. And the first one's on me, man.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Greg. Take care. And we will catch up soon.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Everybody, you guys have to, you have to head over and check out recording. I mean, I was listening to it, and not only that, how cool is it that he's doing a Friday night thing at Paul Maslin's tomorrow night, the night of the release? It's all the stars align, and I'm glad that Chicago Music Revealed actually aligned with them so that we could actually help preview it. So congratulations to Greg. Pleasure talking to him. And it's, you know, it's always interesting to talk to somebody who was in the Navy music program, traveling throughout the entire world. Because, you know, when they say that this is one of the most thriving, healthy scenes in the world, they know, and I agree. And I'm sure a lot of you that are watching this agree as well. So, all right, now, tomorrow night, We've got the Chicago Blues and beyond with our special co-host, Dave Katzman, and the wonderful, incredible, Grammy Award-winning drummer, Kenny BDI Smith. Great guy. We're going to have a great conversation tomorrow night. I already know it because Kenny's a wonderful dude. So stay tuned, 6 p.m. right here, Central Standard Time. As I always say, if you like this, like it, share it, shoot me a comment, shoot us a DM. And as I always say, tell your family, tell your neighbors, call the grandkids tomorrow night right back here, Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. I will see you on the next broadcast.